From introducing Pauline Hanson to the Halal Snack Pack to holding the big banks accountable, New South Wales Senator Sam Dastyari's political career has been quite a ride. At the ripe age of 34, Senator Dastyari has released his very first memoir. It's called One Halal of a Story, which details everything from his family's journey to Australia to his early days in politics. And he joins us on the line now. Good morning, Senator.
Fantastic to be here. Never a dull day in Australian politics, is there anymore?
No, and you're certainly one of the people who keeps it interesting. And what inspired you to write a memoir so early on in your life, Sam?
Well, look, it's less probably a memoir, more a book of stories. But look, politics in Australia is exciting. It's fun. It's full of energy. It's got its ups and downs. But somehow, this decision got made at some point in a room that I obviously wasn't in, which was, we have to make politics boring. We have to make all these stories boring and dull. We have to kind of, you know, if you're not being boring, then you're not being, you know, serious. And no, you can have fun in politics, you can do big things, you can take on big issues, and you can enjoy it in the process. And you write the book, One Halal of a Story, and it was based on the idea of the Halal Snack Pack, which, as your listeners are well aware, actually originated in Adelaide first.
Oh, I didn't actually realise that, Sam.
Yeah. There's a couple of restaurants in Adelaide that did it first. They call it an AB there, which I'm not going to explain to your listeners what that stands for. A lot of them will know. But no, the Halal Snack Pack's original incarnation is actually from Adelaide.
And, of course, very tongue-in-cheek. Tell us about the name of the book. It was quite a collective effort, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, so we had an internet competition to name it. And the winner ended up being, obviously, One Halal of a Story. It beat what I wanted the book to be called, which was You Had Me at Halal. And the option that my wife said, if you name your book this, I will leave you, was Halal on the Streets, Haram in the Sheets.
Oh, that's great.
And that was the final line for my wife. She goes, no way you're calling your book that. Because, you know, because your children will read this book one day.
And tell us about that. You know, what is it about Halal that has been so controversial and potentially hilarious for some people?
Well, look, here's what's happened. There are code words now that people use when they want to say things. It's not acceptable to turn around and say, I don't like Muslims, or I have a problem with Muslims. I mean, there's a very, very small group of people that are prepared to say that. But that's, you know, broadly unacceptable in the political discourse. So they cling on to words. They say, oh, I don't like Halal certification. You know, it's like no one ever objects to the mosque being a mosque. They object to the parking around the mosque. And they go, oh, my problem's not the mosque. It's, you know, they don't feel like it's appropriate to say, well, I just don't want more Muslims in my area. So they turn around and they say things like, oh, it's, you know, there's a, I'm worried about the parking or the ambience. You know, no one complains about parking when it's a bloody Bunnings, do they? You know, if you try to park at a Bunnings, way worse than anything else. No one ever complains. And part of what we're doing is, you know, tongue-in-cheek, you know, you reclaim some of these words, but also you kind of demystify it. And the Halal Snack Pack was, for your listeners who may not know, is a kind of food product that was invented about 2 or 3 years ago, originating from Adelaide, but the modern incarnation of it was a group of very, very drunk teenagers were trying to decide between the English chippy and the Middle Eastern kebab, and they couldn't decide between which one, and they decided to put the two products together, which I think is somehow a beautiful symbol of Australian multiculturalism. You know? And it took off. And kind of, I thought it was just kind of an interesting, you know, it's a symbolism. And, you know, what we do really well when we do multiculturalism well is we make it fun, we make it accessible, we make it interesting. There are those people who get a little bit frustrated that we talk a little bit too much about multiculturalism through the prism of food, but I think that's a healthy thing. That's how we, you know, engage with it.
Well,
and
you can never
really under attack.
You can never talk about it too much here on Breakfast. Sam, you've had a pretty meteoric rise in politics. You know, you were general secretary in your 20s. Maybe a lot of people outside New South Wales might not have heard of you, but during the last federal election campaign, you had a fairly big public profile getting around the country with Bill Shorten, and then the Chinese expense scandal. You sort of took that on the chin pretty quickly. Walked away from your job, but remained in Parliament, and now you want to ban political donations. Can you tell us about the change
I mean, let's just be very clear. I was perhaps one of, if not the biggest fundraisers in the country, right? So I don't come at this from some position of kind of purity. I come up from a complete and utter realist. And my, you know, just to run through kind of what happened. So, you know, towards the end of last year, I resigned from the Labor Party front bench over, I think you deemed it, the kind of China expenses scandal. That's probably a simplistic way if you can frame it. And you kind of take a step back from these things and you look at your life experiences, you look at your experiences, and it shakes you. And you realize, well, what actually goes wrong? What goes wrong is when the pressure to raise money becomes so extreme that Australian politics, as a result, start getting skewed. So let's say one perspective here, listeners. A new member of the US Congress is told that they should be spending 80 to 90% of their time raising money. 80 to 90% of the time raising money. That's where the Americans are now at. That is where we're heading. We're heading into an incredible arms race when it comes to political donations and fundraising. And if you want any more proof of that, then remember that the Prime Minister put $1.7 million of his own money into the last election campaign. $1.7 million of his own money. And what I'm saying is, look, there's going to be some constitutional questions around it, but let's go back to first principles. If we can limit the growth in the arms race, ban donations, I think it's going to lead to better outcomes. If nothing else, then it's going to mean that the pressure on politicians to raise all this money all the time is not going to be there.
What kind of support have you had inside the Labor Party? I mean, it's one thing to push for, you know, to end bans, but to ban donations, but a lot of people love being on that drip, don't they?
Yeah, look, I think the concern is, well, who's going to make the shortfall and whether or not you're going to increase something like public funding. And I don't believe the Australian public are quite 100% there yet, but I think they're coming around to it. I think there's a real sense of, you know, again, the second you start talking to people about the money politics of America, and their eyes light up, and they get it. They get it very, very quickly about where we're heading, and that we're heading there, you know, 100 kilometres an hour. I think there is a will at the moment, or starting to develop. I think we're a few years away from that still, to be honest. But honestly, if I was going to make a prediction, I would be very surprised if we don't have something very similar to a completely public-funded system in the next 5 to 10 years.
Do you think that it should just be come from taxes?
No, I think there's a way around it. You can do, and this is what they did in New South Wales, you can do spending caps as well, significantly limit it and say, look, this is how much you're allowed to spend on political advertising during the prescribed election period. And that takes all the pressure out of the kind of fundraising arms race, because you're limited to what you can spend in that period anyway, so you're going to hit your cap no matter what. The big challenge of political parties then becomes, you know, how do I get smarter about it rather than just spending more and more, rather than saying, right, my goal is to have, you know, 1,001 ads. It's about, well, how do I be smarter about the ads that we're going to run? At the moment, the way the arms race works, it's all about, as your listeners know, it's about bombardment. It's about waking up, you know, in that last week of an election campaign and not being able to see an ad on television. How effective that is, I don't know, but, you know, there's no unilateral disarmament by any of the major parties, that's for sure.
Sam Dastyari is with us. He's a Labor senator. It's talking about his new memoir, One Halal of a Story. And in your memoir, you detail how your parents escaped Iran when you were just 5. Can you tell us a bit about that backstory?
Yes. I came to Australia in the second week of January in 1988 during the Iran-Iraq War. And my parents were very active kind of student politicians, political leaders in Iran during the revolution. And they were slated for, well, my mother was slated for execution. And I talk about how the most important day in my life was actually slightly before I was born, which was the 26th of September, 1981, because that was the day that my mother wasn't executed. That was the day that she was allowed to, she was able to live. And that's the day that she decided that she was going to have me. And we went back into my mother's small town in northern Iran, effectively in quasi-hiding. I mean, they weren't using false names and that, but by going to, you know, leaving the major cities and going to the regions, it was kind of a, you know, to get the heat off them. And that's when they made the decision they were going to come to Australia. And, you know, it took us several years to get that organised, and we were able to come to Australia in 1988. And it's all been kind of, you know, uphill from there.
Well, and Australia can thank multiculturalism for having this Desdiari experience, I think. In your memoir, you also make some criticisms about modern politicians. Sam, what do you think needs to change in the culture to make it more positive?
I think there's a real fear. There's a fear out there, and there's a fear that permeates a place like Canberra. There's a fear of making decisions, a fear of being bold. And people always say to me, well, you know, why do politicians, why do they speak the way they speak? The normal people don't say things like, you know, I have been advised that blah, 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 and it has come to my attention that, you know, normal people don't talk like that. Why do politicians talk like that? And it's because the way in which they've been bashed, they've been hit, they've been knocked every time they're a bit different, every time they say something unique, every time they say something new, drives it out of people. And, you know, I'll give you an example. I take someone who's now a proud Adelaidean again, Julia Gillard, right? Incredible Prime Minister. Well, everyone I know who knows her well and knew her privately would say, oh, Julia was so fantastic in private. Why can't she be like that on television? You know, she's so amazing one-on-one. You know, the second you put a camera on, blah, blah, blah. Well, because people get defensive, you know, the second you put a camera on Julia, and I talk about this in the book, this kind of shield would come up, this defensive shield, and it's understandable considering the amount of criticism, the amount of knocking and that. What we don't have is a culture, or haven't had, is a culture that rewards being bold, rewards being different. That is now changing. I think that the advent of social media that has allowed people to do that differently, but the political classes haven't quite caught up there. They're still stuck in the 90s and 2000s, and we're now in 2017.
So what do you think's been your secret in staying bold and staying strange in a great way?
Oh, reckless indifference. You know, chutzpah. As someone said, walk boy from Sydney, he thinks he can do no wrong. All these terrible things. But look, again, you know, politics is fun, and it should be fun. Politics is exciting, it's interesting. It's also incredibly important, right? But everyone says to me, oh, why don't young people get, you know, young people don't want to get involved in politics, and young people aren't interested in this and that. No, young people are not remotely interested in party politics. They're not interested in machine politics, right? And I just put it up on my social media page yesterday. I went out with, on Saturday, with Pauline Pantstown. You remember the I Don't Like It artist from the 90s, right? He came out of retirement for me. And we went around and were asking people about, you know, are you enrolled for marriage equality? And we're getting 100% take-up rate of people interested. By now, you know, obviously we're talking to a demographic, so they're probably more pro-marriage equality than others would be. But what fascinating was every single person had an opinion. They cared, they were interested. This idea that young people don't care about politics is rubbish. They don't care about organized politics. They don't care about politics as it's always been. The idea they're going to join political parties and show up in dreary halls on Tuesday nights for a meeting from 8 till 9 p.m. No. But to say they're not interested in politics ignores the fact that how interested in the issues around politics they are.
Hey, thanks so much for your time today, Senator
Desdiari. Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Great to have you with us. Labor Senator Sam Desdiari has just released his memoir, One Halal of a Story. Love a pun here on Radio Adelaide Breakfast.
Yeah, sounds like a good read.
It's available online in bookstores around Australia. We'll put a link up as well.